It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Hello. This is DJ Marcus, and this is a show for SMJ, I guess. Nah, someone will hear it in the archive eventually. Anyway, this is news to me. It is August 7th, and it's 1900 UTC. So, away we go. What? I'm going to flip over here and pull up the news. Today is Friday, so I'll be gone for a couple days and then come back. You can still catch Tobe. And because it's Friday, I've got some headlines from The Guardian. I get The Guardian weekly, a newspaper, because of delays with the U.S. Postal Service. I am about a week behind on art on magazines. So I have July 30th's edition is the most recent one that I received. So let's just go through a couple of the world headlines that are on The Guardian real quick. So, Germany is the most admired country in the world for the third year running, leaving the U.S. in a tight battle for distant second place with China and Russia, according to a global leadership poll. Brazil's wildlife trafficking threat is revealed in a new report. Millions of wild animals are trafficked within and out of Brazil every year, a new report has found, with its authors warning that a lack of good quality data means the country's illegal wildlife trade is not taken seriously enough. Oh, man. In business news, Apple pledges to become carbon neutral by 2030. Apple pledged to become a carbon neutral operation by 2030, a commitment that covers its entire supply chain and the life cycle of all products, including the electricity consumed in their use. The majority of the progress, Apple says in its 2020 Environmental Progress Report, will be made by cutting its carbon emissions directly. The last 25% will come from carbon removal solutions, such as forest planting and mangrove swamp restoration. The editorial board and the majority of journalists at the country's biggest independent country being UK, country's biggest independent news outlet resigned after its editor-in-chief was fired amid claims of political interference. More than 70 of roughly 90 editorial staff at index.hu, well, I guess not UK, at index.hu walked out of the newsroom last Friday after submitting their resignations in the wake of Zabolcs Dulls. This is a Hungarian name, S-Z-A-B-O-L-C-S, Dulls dismissal last week. The departing journalist published an open letter on the outlet's website in Hungarian and English. The editorial board deemed that the conditions for independent operations are no longer in place and initiated the termination of their employment. Pretty wild. Any interesting ones? We covered that. Let's see. Poland, government to withdraw from Women's Rights Treaty. Not a real big surprise there. The government's move to withdraw from an international treaty aimed at preventing violence against women raised alarm in the Council of Europe. Justice Minister Zbigniew Ziobro said on 25 July that he would begin preparing for the formal process to withdraw from the Istanbul Convention. And the last page here, just to wrap up. In Pakistan, journalist who is critical of military was released. A prominent journalist known for his criticism of the country's military and other institutions has been released after he was kidnapped by heavily armed men in Islamabad. In Bangladesh, monsoon flooding adds to supercyclone's damage. Bangladesh could be plunged into a humanitarian crisis as it undergoes the most prolonged monsoon flooding in decades while recovering from the effects of supercyclone Amphen. And in Vietnam, denying evacuated after new coronavirus cases. The government is evacuating 80,000 people from the central city of Da Nang and reimposing disease prevention measures after four coronavirus cases were detected, the first recorded in the country for more than 3 months. Vietnam had been praised widely for taking quick action to contain COVID-19 and was on the brink of reaching 100 days without any new local infections. Last Saturday, however, a 57-year-old grandfather was confirmed to have tested positive, the first community infection since April. Social distancing measures have been introduced indefinitely across Da Nang, a tourist hotspot with all religious sports and cultural events suspended. So, I definitely suggest The Guardian is a great news source. It's funded by a big endowment, and so they try and be as independent as they want to. It's kind of one of those things, but they still make money, as we talked about yesterday when we were talking about the New York Times, and they're winning with making money. So, cool. Well, we're going to play a song real quick, and then we're going to jump into some more news. So, let's do that real quick. I played that already. I'm trying not to play the songs I like too many times in a row. I don't want to make anybody go crazy. Here, let's just do this. That's right. It's Karma Chameleon by Culture Club. Alright, thanks a lot, Karma Chameleon. Alright, keep going. I believe in you. You come and go. You come and go. There we go. Sure. We're going to cut you off. You got another minute of saying Karma Chameleon. And, you know, we're listening to
Anon
Radio.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
And the TOBE and the DGC is coming up at 2:30 or 19:30 UTC. So let's run through some live fresh news. So first, we're talking world news, of course.
World news.
World news. So probably the top story, you know, Beirut's explosion is still a horrible event, but the world continues to crank out news every minute of the day. In Kerala, which is in India, there was a big plane crash. So this is reported in a few different spots, from France 24, they're reporting that at least 14 people died and 15 others were critically injured when a passenger jet skidded off the runway after landing in heavy rain in India. Air India Express said more than 190 passengers and crews were on board the plane, which left from Dubai and landed at Kozhikode Airport in the southern state of Kerala. Television pictures showed part of the fuselage of the jet ripped apart, although there was no sign of any fire. I can confirm at least 14 deaths. Another 15 passengers have critical injuries. It's still a developing situation, senior local policeman Abdul Karim told AFP. So, and it was a Boeing 737. BBC's let us know it was a Boeing 737. And the flight was repatriating Indians stranded by the coronavirus crisis. Prime Minister Narendra Modi said he was pained by the plane accident. And M.K. Raghavan, a lawmaker from Calicut, told BBC at least 16 people died in the crash. So, the numbers and the story appears to be evolving. This just happened about 45 minutes ago. So, good luck, India. I hope you can save those people that are critically injured and nobody gets sick. Alrighty, so a little bit lighter story, something that people think is kind of funny, and there are regrettably several photos of this incident. But here we go from the independent.co.uk. It's reported elsewhere, but naked man chases wild boar through public park after swine steals his laptop. And that, my friends, is a headline. Greetings, X1. Oh, and hi, Barnacle. Oh, hey, thanks, SMJ, for broadcasting out about the news. So, check this out. Sunbathers in a busy Berlin park were treated to a sight of a naked man chasing after a wild boar which was carrying his belongings. The boar was seen running through the park carrying a bag in its mouth which contained a laptop. The owner of the laptop followed close behind, having been disturbed from a naked sunbathing session. Photos of the incident were shared widely online after Adele Launderer, a Berlin local, posted them to Facebook. Facebook comes again. Miss Launderer, I'm not sure how you say L-A-N-D-A-U-E-R, too many vowels for me, said there were many nude sunbathers at the spot when the boar appeared. While the man was bathing, she said, the boar calmly ate a pizza from his bag and then went looking for dessert. They found this yellow bag and decided to take it away, but the man who owned it realized it was the bag with his laptop, so he was very focused and ran behind the boars in order to get it back. Slender said when she showed her photos to the man, he was very amused and gave her his blessing to share them publicly. Ms. Launder, an actor and life coach, said this incident was a good example of someone persevering to achieve their goal. Germany is famed for naturism. It's common for sunbathers and swimmers to strip off in the warmer months, and many beaches and parks permit nudity as part of Freikörperkultur, which translates to free body culture. So, pretty wild. There are several photos online. You don't see the guy's genitalia or anything, but he is an older man who is not in shape, and it's a boar, a grown-up boar, and then like two little babies, and they are hauling ass with his backpack. So, pretty wild. Well, so that's how that goes. Let's go ahead here and jump over to some more, so a little heavier news. It's not, still world news, but it's just a little bit different. And that, my friends, comes from, these are U.S. stories reaching out into the world. So, a little less world-centric. First up, where'd you go? There you are. The reverse birth tourists. U.S. women are seeking cheaper countries to have babies. So this is from The Guardian's website. Is Americans are choosing to have babies abroad to avoid the crushing maternity and childcare costs in the U.S. Last year, more than 66,000 Americans had babies abroad. The government doesn't ask parents why they're overseas, but expat motivation surveys, migration experts, and interviews with over a dozen Americans around the world reveal over a dozen. Yeah, it's a huge sample size there. Over a dozen Americans around the world reveal that many leave home, at least in part, to escape the crushing financial and personal cost of starting a family in the United States. The U.S. has some of the highest child care costs in the world. Even Americans with employer-provided insurance can expect to pay an average of $4,569, nice, in out-of-pocket childbirth fees. It is the only high-income country that doesn't mandate paid maternity leave and has longer work weeks and less paid time off than most other developed countries. The price of infant care tops $15,000 a year in some parts of the country and is expected to rise as a result of the pandemic. This is why Americans birth migrants are seeking refuge from unique U.S. burdens in countries with either lower costs of living or more government support. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's go over here. And the other worldly news I had was about TikTok. Trump signed an executive order telling the U.S. that U.S. firms needed to stop doing business with ByteDance and, I guess, Tencent. The company said TikTok is So the news is that TikTok is threatening legal action against the U.S. after Donald Trump ordered firms to stop doing business with the app within 45 days. The company said it was shocked by an executive order from the president outlining the ban. TikTok said it would pursue all remedies available to ensure the rule of law is not discarded. Mr. Trump issued a similar order against China's WeChat in a major escalation in Washington's standoff with Beijing. WeChat's owner Tencent said, "We are reviewing the executive order to get a full understanding." As well as WeChat, Tencent is also a leading game company. It includes 40% stake in Epic Games, the company behind the hugely popular Fortnite game. So yeah, it would be insane. It would be there would be lots of really, really angry kids, and in turn, lots of really sad parents if they messed with this. TikTok! TikTok, TikTok. It's like the clicking of the clock. So, that, my friends, is the global news we had today. And sadly, I still haven't recorded a domestic news bumper. So, here's this
one. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
Boom. Alright, so let's jump over here. Portland mayor condemns violence from protesters. So this is a headline roundup from All Sides. And with All Sides, as we've talked about before, when they do the roundups, they gather stories from a couple, from at least the middle and the right or left, and then kind of summarize it. So what we've got here is, in a Thursday speech, Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler declared protesters who started fires were trying to commit murder, saying he believed city staff could have died and that such violence would only help Trump get reelected. People reportedly attempted to burn down a police precinct, prompting police to declare the assembly unlawful and clear the area. An officer was reportedly severely hurt when rocks started being thrown at police. Oh man, Toba's here! DGC's coming up, I'm excited. Alright, so coverage on the news primarily came from right-rated outlets and several center-rated outlets. Headlines from right-rated sources focused on Wheeler's condemnation of violent protesters. Some left-rated outlets reposted coverage by the AP. None offered original reporting on the mayor's remarks of Friday afternoon. So, take that how you will. Apparently, the mayor doesn't want you to burn down police stations. Big surprise. The roundup around the TikTok ban was kind of interesting because, like with other stories, when it's just the facts, man, just like Dragnet, when it's just the facts, everyone seems to agree. And so it's kind of nice. And so what we've got here is, as of Thursday evening, coverage from all sides of the spectrum remains consistent. And that's that, yes, there was an executive order, and yes, it bans TikTok within 45 days unless they sell, unless ByteDance sells TikTok to a domestic company. Whether or not he's demanding like a finder's fee or something. Oh, yeah. Freecore Pickerel Tour. Hello, Signal 11. Yeah, those were a nudist went chasing after his backpack. He was sunbathing, and a boar ran off with his laptop. FKK. Cool. That will be what I use from now on if I run into it. All right, so those guys. Oh, this is a world news story that slipped through the cracks. China has sentenced another Canadian to death on drug charges. So if you're new to the world, drug charges in Asia are treated very harshly, and so you get some pretty serious sentences and strict laws out there. A Chinese court has sentenced a second Canadian citizen to death on charges of producing illegal drugs. A court notice in the province of Guangdong said Yi Jian Yi Hui was sentenced on Friday, a day after another court sentenced Su Huihong. They are the third and fourth Canadians to be sentenced to death in China recently. Relations between the two countries have been tense since the arrest of Huawei executive in Vancouver in late 2018. Ming Wanzhou's detention following a request from the United States angered China and soured relations between both U.S. and Canada. Province of Guangdong. It's Guangdong. I'm just put it into COM. You can join COM. You go to SDF, type in COM at your command prompt, hit enter, hit L, it'll list the rooms. You can type G, and then the name of the room you want to go to. It's easy and fun. And this reminds me, do I have that story pulled up? Speaking of Canada, a Canadian citizen, a 72-year-old man, died in one of our ICE prisons, Immigration and Customs officials holding facilities. He was there, he got COVID-19, and he died, and he didn't get treated. You Yugafin? What? I don't know what that is. Oh, you got girlfriend Vietnam? It's 7 minutes to go before it's time for Tobe and the Dubious Goals Committee. I'm pretty excited about it. Let's play a quick song, and then it'll be time for a couple of tech headlines. Here, let's play something everybody will know. It's Jesse's Girl from Rick Springfield.
Jesse is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine. Lately something's changed, it ain't hard to define. Jesse's got himself a girl and I wanna make her mine. And she's watching him with those eyes, and she's loving with that body, I just know it. And he's holding her in his arms late at night. The charade, there doesn't seem to be a reason to change. You know, I feel so dirty when they start talking cute. I wanna tell her that I love her, but the point is probably moot. Cause she's watching him with those eyes, and she's loving him with that body, I just know it. And he's holding her in his arms late at night. Where can I find a
That's right. It's time for some tech news before we get the heck out of here. So, Bloomberg Law has a nice piece here, and that's Pacer, if you don't know, is a database you pay and you can get access to public records related to the court system. So, these are the U.S. government, here's the article, the U.S. government charges too much for access to an electronic database of federal court records. The Federal Circuit ruled in a decision curbing a revenue stream the court system uses to help fund other programs. The U.S. Court of Appeals from the Federal Circuit affirmed a lower court's decision that the government was not authorized under federal law to spend $192 million in public access to court records, that's PACER, public access to court records system fees, on court technology projects. The lower court got it just right when it limited the government's use of PACER revenues to the cost of operating the system, the court said. We agree with plaintiffs and amici, I guess the brief, the friends, that the First Amendment stakes here are high, the court said, but it said it doesn't foresee the lower court's interpretation as resulting in a level of user fees that will significantly impede public access to courts. So, pretty rad. If you haven't used PACER before, it's not super expensive, but you do, you know, it costs you a couple bucks. So I'm glad they're not going to siphon all that money away. If they have to use it on PACER, maybe they won't charge you 50 bucks or something. So now over on the markup, I haven't used this site before, but the markup obtained internal documents that coach new employees at Google to avoid creating very real legal risk and using words like market and network effects. As Google faces at least four major antitrust investigations on two continents, internal documents obtained by the markup show its parent company, Alphabet, has been preparing for this moment for years, telling employees across the enterprise that certain language is off-limits in all written communications, no matter how casual. Taboo words included market, barriers to entry, and network effects, which is when products such as social networks become more valuable as more people use them. Words matter, especially in antitrust law, reads one document titled Five Rules of Thumb for Written Communication. Alphabet gets sued a lot, and we have our fair share of regulatory investigations. Assume every document will become public. So, that's pretty rad. I hope Google suffers long and hard with all of their shenanigans. Don't get grumpy. We don't have time for another song. The Register's reporting something pretty wild. If you're an old fogey like me, you might remember that Toshiba used to be the cool laptop. Like, I used to love the Toshiba satellite laptops. Well, they have formally and finally exited the laptop business. The last Dynabook shares shuffled off to a new owner, Sharp. Wow, Sharp's still around. Toshiba has finally and formally exited the laptop business. Toshiba has made laptops since 1985 and claims to have been the first to make a mass market computer in the now familiar clamshell factor. So, pretty rad. There are tons of other stuff, but we don't got time, so I'll just say Newth is elected the Free Software Foundation president. Benassi joins the board, which is pretty exciting. PHP is struggling with attribute syntax. The GNU C library version 2.32 is out. And that's all the time we got. Enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe every day at 19:30. News to me is Monday through Friday at 1900 UTC.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Yes.